Hello, Bulls Nation. Welcome to another episode of the Rebuild a Bull podcast. I'm your host, Matt Gentile. Today, I'm going to be joined by Derek Briscoe from Chicago Sports Nation. Derek is new to the blogging and podcasting world. He joined at the beginning of the 2019 season. He's doing a great job over at Chicago Sports Nation. Before we get started, though, just wanted to remind everybody that you can catch all episodes of the Rebuild a Bull podcast at rebuildabull.com. And we're also streaming on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play. And of course, for the latest updates, feel free to follow us on Twitter at rebuild_a_bull. We'll always have our latest episodes there, and we'll be chiming in on the latest Bulls news and retweeting some other great content that's out there on Bulls Twitter as well. So before Derek laid out his rebuilding plan, I just asked him about, you know, his experience over at Chicago Sports Nation and how he got started podcasting and blogging. Take a listen.
Yeah, I joined Chicago Sports Nation like right before this season started. They had a tweet out there that said, if you're a fan of the Bulls, you're qualified to be a blogger for us, you know, fill out this application. I did it. I was accepted. Started blogging right away, putting out a blog every week. And that became transitioned to, hey, we want to start a podcast. Does anybody want to be a part of it? I said, I'll be a part of it. And eventually I became the section manager for the Bulls Nation side of Chicago Sports Nation. And I'm currently now the host of the Chicago Hot Sauce podcast, still putting out a blog every week. And I'm behind a lot of the tweets and posts for the Bulls Nation Twitter and Facebook page.
Which do you prefer doing? Do you like doing more of the writing end of things, or do you like doing the podcast?
I actually like doing both pretty much, because it's a different aspect of, you know, I can write my thoughts down of how I'm feeling about the team or circumstances going on with the Bulls at the time. And then I get to record with, you know, other people from the Chicago Sports Nation, and we can bounce off of each other. Hey, how did you feel about this? Well, I felt this way about it. I think the Bulls should make this move, and maybe agree, maybe they don't agree, they have something other to do. So it's different aspects of it. So I enjoy both.
And you, I saw that you had retweeted something about the podcast, that you guys had hits coming out of Finland, and it's not shocking. The Bulls are a global brand, so how cool is it to have something like that happen when you see some of your work being noticed, you know, on a global level?
It's definitely very cool to be able to reach the global portion of the Bulls Nation. Definitely have to credit that one to Lauri Markkanen, being from Finland. He's going to bring that Finnish crowd over to wanting to hear more about the Bulls and hear more about their guy.
Yeah, it's crazy because, you know, for a long time, it was just anybody from Iowa State. That's all, you know, people would, that was the only crowd that they would reach the Bulls, right? you got to give the Fred Hoiberg a lot of love for that one. Real quick, where can people follow you on Twitter, and what's the handle for Chicago Sports Nation?
My handle for my personal page is at Young Jordan, and for the Chicago Sports Nation page, it is at Chicago Sports Nation.
So I noticed too that you wrote a post actually about, you know, some of the bright spots on the team, and I think that's going to play pretty well into laying out a rebuilding plan, because something tells me it's going to be about the core a little bit. But what were some of your thoughts from this past season?
Yeah, it was pretty rough. The injuries were a real big impact, I think, of how, you know, only winning 22 games with so many different starting lineups. I think we had more different starting lineups than we had wins, because all these players were in and out of the lineup. But bright spots from that, you see Zach LaVine, he took a step to becoming a potential all-star. We saw that flash from Lauri Markkanen in February, where he has that potential to become the Bulls' cornerstone go-to guy. And Wendell Carter Jr., he had pretty good bright spots, being only 19 years old before his season was cut short with that injury. You know, his defensive presence being 19 was outstanding, and it showed a positive of these young core players that the Bulls should be on the right track to getting back to being competitive.
Mm-hmm. What you said about Wendell Carter Jr. I think is actually a really interesting note, because at 19 years old, you saw him easily be the best defensive player on the floor.
It was incredible. It's at 19 and you're the best defensive player your very first year. You're not adjusted to the NBA yet. You still have to put on that muscle to get that NBA body, mm-hmm. because you're playing against bigger guys now. And you still manage to be your team's best defender. And that says a world for his defensive capabilities and, you know, just his future as a rim-stopping big.
And I think the other thing that encourages me about him is, you know, wait until he takes his offense a little further away from the basket, because I think he has a chance to stretch the floor a little bit too.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree that. Hopefully, next year, they'll let him shoot a bit more, because they seem to want him to have him down in the posts this year. But he can bring his guy out a little bit more. I think he can even expand his range to the three-point line.
And we saw some of that. I know he did a little of that at Duke, and I hope to see that in the 2020 season. Just to kind of give listeners a little recap of what this show is, you know, we give our guests the chance to really lay out a long-term rebuilding plan for the Bulls. And so they start with laying out hiring front office, deciding what to do with the coaching staff, then working their way to the roster for making changes in the 2019-2020 season, and then sort of laying out their wish list or their hopes for the next couple of seasons before getting to title contention. So, Derek, you ready to sit in John Paxson's chair and have your shot at rebuilding the Bulls?
I'm ready.
All right. So with you in charge, what are you doing first? What's your first order of business?
My first order of business is overhauling the Bulls' medical staff.
I thought you were going to say that, because I've noticed you. I noticed you point that out on Twitter quite a bit, that this has been a problem for a long time.
It's definitely been a problem for a long time, where it's kind of like guard packs where they've had no accountability. The medical staff has had no accountability from, you know, trying to force Luol Deng to play when he had that stress fracture in his leg, and they questioned his toughness, like, well, why can't you play? We say you're fine. And then you find out the guy's leg is fractured. Again, Luol Deng with the spinal tap thing, how you botch a spinal tap thinking he has meningitis when he has the common flu and you nearly kill him. Denzel Valentine was day to day for a couple of weeks and then he's out for the season. He needs his ankle reconstructed completely. Mm-hmm. Wendell Carter Jr., well, yeah, he's fine. He'll be back. No, he's out for the season. His hand's fractured. Like, how are you making these mistakes consistently with a player's health and you just keep doing it? I don't see how the Bulls organization has not said, okay, we need somebody else in here who can correctly diagnose our players and make sure that they're doing the best to take care of their bodies so we can keep them out on the floor. Because season after season, the Bulls are always losing multiple players due to injury. And we always have to say, well, the injuries really hurt us this season. Maybe if we didn't have that injury, we could be in a better position. Hopefully next year we'll be healthy and the team will go further.
We know it played a huge role this past season, just with all the injuries. So I think it definitely seems like something that has to be addressed. Going forward, what are some other moves that you would consider, you know, making? Do you have idea of what you would do maybe at the GM spot, coaching spot?
The GM spot, this may come out of left field, but seeing the success of, you know, Elton Brand with the Sixers, how he came in, he went out, he got Tobias Harris. He's got them as a top Eastern Conference team. And I think having a player, a former player as a GM is helpful, because, you know, they can tell you, I've been here before. I've played on a championship team. So I understand who needs to be here, who can play with each other, what fit these guys are going to need. So if I've been a part of the championship team, I know what it took for us to reach a championship level. So I would know, hey, we need this guy because he's going to fit in with our core and it's going to help propel us to this championship level. And then it helps on a free agent like, hey, I was a part of this multiple championship team. I know what it takes for a win. I think you could really help us win. If you want to win championships, come join us. I know what moves to make. And someone like that, who, like Jim Boylan says, is all about the bulls across the chest, I would bring in Scottie Pippen.
You know, you're not, I'm going to tease this. There's going to be an episode coming up soon where somebody else pitched that idea. And I've watched him on ESPN, though. He scares the hell out of me because he comes out of left field with some takes that, I mean, whew, man, they're kind of bold. But I definitely understand where you're coming from, though, in terms of just trying to have somebody that can sell the Bulls a little bit more, because I think there's a league-wide perception that things aren't right, and I think they would need a little bit of a boost, and I could see a guy like Scottie doing that.
Right, and I've seen those takes as well, and trust me, Scottie would definitely have to be constantly drug tested just to make sure that everything's on the up and up, so he won't have those kind of crazy ideas to make moves in the front office.
So we're gonna bring him in, we're gonna drug test him a lot just to make sure that everything is going okay and that the moves that he's making are completely batshit crazy. I got you.
Exactly. I mean, you know, he can say, hey, I played with the greatest player ever. We won 6 championships, 2 three-peats. Nobody beat us in those finals. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, I need you here with this core. We can all work this out. If you want to win a championship, come here. Come play for Chicago.
Does it scare you a little bit, though, that Bulls did try this with technically John Paxson? Now, a little different player. He was more of a scrappy guy. Scottie's a legend. There's a big difference. I totally get that. But does it scare you a little bit?
Yeah, it can scare you a little bit. But, hey, at the same time, Paxson and Gar, they're there 16 years. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, I think I can find another person. Maybe to keep this thing rolling in a different direction if Scottie's just making crazy moves.
This is true, and you know, the good thing is, if you're the VP of basketball operations, Derek, you probably are going to be set for life because you're working for the Reinsdorfs, so you can do whatever you want. So you're going to get millions, and you're going to get to make as many moves as you want, really. So that is true. So if Scottie's you know, throwing things out of left field way too much, then you could say, I'm done with this.
Yeah, I'll take responsibility of, unlike Paxson. I'll come out and say, hey, I thought Scottie would get us there. We took a swing. That didn't make it. Let's try somebody else.
There you go. What would you do with Jim Boylan? Would you keep Jim Boylan around as your head coach, or would you look for somebody else to lead your core?
For the current season, I would actually keep Boylan, just because, you know, we did put Boylan in place of Hoiberg mid-season. He hasn't had his own coaching staff. He hasn't had a training camp. But after that rocky week with the, you know, the near mutiny, it seems that he's started to win over the players, like with Zach LaVine offering to pay his fine for that ejection. You know, he has plans to go visit Lori out in Finland. And he seems to be tough, we got to do it this way mentality. But he also seems to be a player's coach as far as, you know, when he got ejected, he's dapping up all the guys on the way out. When Ryan Arcidiacono dove and saved the ball and he went out of bounds, Boylan can run right over there and dap them up and told him, like, yeah, great job. Like, he seems to really care about the team and the players, and it seems like that they are buying in to what Boylan wants them to do. So I would give him the opportunity to be the coach for this season. I would not extend him until after I saw how this season played out, because if it doesn't really do anything, if we're set again at 22-25 wins and he hasn't really gotten anything better out of the players this season, then I would definitely have to look for a different coach. But I think that he does deserve at least a full season's chance.
Okay. Is there any other moves you would consider making up in the front office or within your organization? Are you thinking about tweaking your scouting staff? Are you thinking about maybe setting like some type of philosophy, like, hey, we're going to be a run and gun team this year. You know, going forward, we got to beef up our analytics to see, you know, how we can get the best 3-point shooting around. I mean, what are some other moves that you might make within your organization?
Definitely would look for somebody who is knowledgeable with the analytics. I mean, I really cannot tell you how plus minus works, but I'm sure that there's some math genius out there that would be able to say, this is how it works. We need more of plus here because it's going to equate some more 3-point shooting. Is a run and gun league now. We need 3-point players. These guys are going to be able to keep running the floor. They'll be able to knock down the three. Like, I think with Zach, he pretty much, I think, outran everybody in the NBA last year. And if they can find, you know, players that are able to do that, where they have that durability and they can hustle up and down the floor, spread the floor out shooting, I would look for somebody who can understand analytics. But with the scouting team, I don't think they've done pretty bad of a job. You know, we got Lauri Markkanen, we've got Wendell Carter Jr. They've found Jimmy Butler and Taj Gibson as late picks. I think they have a bit more hits than misses on like scouting talent to draft. So I would say I would keep the scouting team in place, but just look for somebody who can bring the analytics side to it.
Yeah, so just beef that part up and see if maybe, you know, you can correlate with how to build the roster out. I think, though, the next order of business probably would be what comes with the draft lottery. It's very intriguing. You know, Bulls sit with the fourth worst record, so they have a 12.5% chance of getting the number one pick. Now, let's say they win the lottery. They end up with the number one pick. I've noticed, and I've asked pretty much every guest, you know, it's Zion Williamson, I don't have to ask, right? But I have seen on Twitter, you've tweeted a lot about Ja Morant. And so I'm kind of curious, is it a lock for you at number one? Is it Zion, or do you have a little more doubt?
Oh, it's definitely a lock for me for Zion at number one. The Ja Morant tweets are more so if we get the second pick.
Gotcha. So with the number one pick, like with a guy like Zion Williamson, how much of an impact do you think that Zion could have right off the bat in year one with your current roster, or the current core of your roster?
Oh, he should have an immediate impact with the current core because, you know, you've got Zach out there, you've got Lauri, and you got Wendell Carter Jr. Well, actually, I think Wendell would have to move to the bench if we get Zion. Maybe try Lauri at the five so Zion can start at power forward. But you have Zach, you have Lauri, you have Otto Porter Jr. That spreads the floor out. You know, Zach can drive, he can shoot the three. Same with Lauri, and Lori's now with that drag step. That's going to become a deadly shot for him. Otto Porter, of course, is a 3-and-D guy. Mm-hmm. It all just needs to be brought together by a point guard, and I think Zion could have an immediate impact with his explosiveness, with his size, and his speed for that size. I'm thinking definitely in the running for Rookie of the Year, if not Rookie of the Year.
I mean, I totally agree with you. I think he's probably going to have an immediate impact right off the bat. Would you ever consider, you know, and again, you probably would leave this to your coaching staff, but would you ever consider, you know, moving Zion kind of comes off as a positionless player. Would you consider putting him at the three instead of maybe the four and moving Otto Porter to the bench?
Would definitely consider it. You know, it's a lot of talk with whether Zion is a small forward or power forward. So it's definitely a case to, you know, we bring Otto Porter off the bench and, you know, he let him lead off the bench. He can facilitate well himself. So that brings a valuable option off the bench. And then you have a front court of marketing Wendell Carter Jr. and Zion Williams. And, you know, that's very scary.
And so with the number two pick, then it sounds like, you know, Ja Morant for sure. What do you think Ja Morant brings to to this Bulls core?
And Ja Morant feels an immediate need with the point guard position. Chris Dunn, he's best with the ball in his hands, I would say, but so is Zach. So this multiple ball handler system that Boylan is running, it proved to be a good flow of offense for Zach and for Lori. You know, with Otto out there, it made the team look like a competitive and actual NBA team. But Chris Dunn just doesn't seem to do anything out there. I mean, he was touted for his defense, but that really took a step back this year. He doesn't get to the line much. He's a mid-range shooter who does not have a good mid-range shot.
That's definitely is. I think that's spot on. I mean, he's very frustrating because you saw some promise last year in him, and then it just almost like the air went right out of the balloon in 2019.
Chris Dunn to me is Rajon Rondo, but without the high basketball IQ,
which is basically all of Rondo's game, right? Like.
Yeah, he's not a good three-point shooter. He's not a good shooter at all. He did shoot over 80% from the foul line, but he hardly got to the foul line.
And that's the thing. It just seems like even like around the basket, he just doesn't finish that much or doesn't draw fouls as much as you'd like.
Yeah, and when he does get that finish, you know, he's screaming and like, ah, I just did something. It's like, well, how many games in between has it been since you actually finished around the rim?
Exactly. Sometimes he's doing it when they're down a lot too, or you know, that's one thing that would just tick me off. And I know one of our previous guests, John Sabine from Bulls Outsiders, he pointed that out too, that like he'll be celebrating when they're down 25. It's like, dude, know the situation. Don't be celebrating when that's going on. What would you consider doing it after Morant, after, you know, if you don't get the number one pick, if you don't get the number two pick, what are you thinking in that 3-8 range? Is there any players that interest you? You know, there's RJ Barrett, Jarrett Culver, Darius Garland. Those are some names you hear. Or are you looking to do something else with that pick? Maybe move it.
This case is made for Culver and Barrett, and I understand those points of view. But from what the Bulls need to have this core going, I would look to trade my pick up to get Ja Morant. So, whoever that's packaging a future first round in Chris Dunn, Denzel Valentine, someone like that. I don't think the year will be a success if the Bulls cannot either luck into number one or number two, or at least trade up to get Ja Morant.
Let me give you a scenario then. Let's say there's a GM that has a pick that's, you know, higher up there. It's in the number two pick. You're sitting at 4 or 5, and GM asks if you want the number two pick. We'll take your pick, but we want Wendell Carter Jr. Would you do it?
You said this is for the number two pick, right?
For the number two pick.
No brainer for number one for Zion.
I would agree with that.
I would be hesitant to do that, to send Wendell Carter away, just because of the promise and that he showed on the defense end at 19. And you know, his game can still grow. His offense game has room to grow. I don't think that I would trade Wendell Carter Jr. I'd try to restructure this trade somehow, like, hey, we'll give you this pick, we'll give you our first next year, take Chris Dunn, take Denzel Valentine. But I can't just part with Wendell Carter Jr. I see him as a big part of this core for the Bulls moving forward.
You would value his rim protection over, though, a playmaking point guard like Morant?
That's a very good question. I don't know. I really am high on Wendell Carter. And just his defense alone, his offense can grow. Just, you know, the leadership that he's shown already at 19 in those situations, you really can't teach that for somebody so young. And I could see him becoming a leader to this team. I would probably have to, if I still need that point guard, I'll probably, no, I wouldn't take that trade, and I would have to go with Garland.
Of course, there's always the free agent market, too, and we'll get to that in a little bit. I wanted to ask, though, before we get to free agency, you're going to have to make some decisions with some of the players you have currently on the roster, some of those fringe guys. I'm going to throw some names out at you. You tell me what you would do with this player, if you would keep them, let them walk, or look to move them. I'm going to start with, and I think I know the answer to this, but Chris Dunn.
Definitely would try to move him. Like I said, if we can throw him in a trade to move up, or if we can't trade him to move up, still try to move him. Well, it depends, because with the pick, if we're going to take a point guard, I would say take a point guard, still, you know, look for a veteran in free agency, and definitely just try to move on from Dunn.
What about Denzel Valentine? A lot of promise in 2018, it seemed like, and then, you know, the never-ending injury this year. What would you consider doing with him going forward?
He's expendable in a trade as well. I like Denzel. I think he's a valuable playmaker off the bench, but I really haven't seen him having a healthy season in a Bulls uniform since he's been here. So if I can move him for something of value, would definitely put him in the trade.
I'm going to throw both these names out at the same time because they're both backup point guards. Shaq Harrison and Ryan Arcidiacono.
I would let Arcidiacono walk. Okay. I don't think we have him under contract. Yeah, he can walk. Shaq, I think he's partially guaranteed. I like Shaq. I think that he was pretty much our most solid defensive player after Wendell Carter was injured. You know, his steals per game were up there with the NBA leaders. And we need a backup point guard that can come in and lock the other team's point guard down. So I would look to give him a slight deal.
What about somebody that a lot of Bulls fans either seem to really like the idea of having him stay, others are okay with him walking? Robin Lopez.
Yeah, Rolo would be back as the veteran leader. You know, he says he believes in what this young core is capable of. He likes the direction that the Bulls are heading and that he is willing to take a pay cut. So if he's going to keep his word and take that pay cut, take this team-friendly contract, then I would definitely bring him back. But if he's still kind of out of the price range, then you got to let him go and see if we can find a veteran for cheaper.
So if you can get him at the right price, keep him.
Yes, right price, you got to keep him. I think Wendell Carter said he credited Robin Lopez for teaching him how to avoid the defensive three call by being able to tag his man just before that 3 seconds is up. So he's a valuable teacher to Wendell Carter, you know, teaching him the tricks of the trade with defending. And, you know, Zach and Ryan Arcidiacono have all said that no one sets a better pick in the league than Robin Lopez. So if he's going to teach that to Wendell Carter as well, I think that's a valuable enough reason to keep him around to be a Wendell's mentor going forward.
So as you attack free agency for the 2020 season, what would you do if you have a player that, or here, let me reset this a little bit. Let's say you end up picking 3-8. Does that change how you would attack the free agency period? Would you be a little more conservative knowing that you're going to end up with a player that isn't one of those top guys like Jar or Zion?
No, I would still continue looking for a veteran point guard in the free agency because even if we don't get Ja or Zion, we have to address that point guard position. Chris Dunn he's just not the answer. And for this core of Levine, Carter, Markkanen, and Porter to go forward, they're going to need somebody out there that can run the offense, who can actually knock down a three so their guy does have to guard them. And, you know, somebody, a point guard that can give you more than 3 or 4 assists a game, I would definitely still be looking aggressively for a point guard.
One name that's being floated out there a lot, and I think a lot of Bulls fans are starting to bang the drum, the Derrick Rose drum. How do you feel about that?
I would be okay with a potential reunion, but that would be under the circumstances if us drafting Ja Morant.
Okay.
Because I don't see Rose being the starter. That dunk he had in that NCAA tournament. It reminded me a lot of Rose's dunk on Gordon Dragic. Right there, it drew comparisons for Morant and D. Rose. So I think kind of in a perfect world, you get Ja Morant as your point guard and you bring Derrick Rose in off the bench and he helps mentor and bring along Ja Morant's game to the NBA level.
So you wouldn't consider, like, if you do end up with maybe another point guard from the draft, or, you know, if you end up with Zion, you wouldn't consider bringing in either Rose in a bench role or maybe starting the year off as the starting point guard? Is that it's only if you get Ja Morant?
Ja Morant and D. Rose tandem. If we don't get Ja Morant, I would prefer Patrick Beverley being the point guard.
It's kind of a sexy pick right now on Bulls Twitter.
He's what we were hoping Chris Dunn would be with defense. He doesn't care who he's guarding. If it's LeBron, if it's KD, he's going right at you. You know, he's from Chicago. He's got that grit about him that he plays with. I don't think he's a bad three-point shooter career-wise either, so that definitely helps. He's veteran savvy, so yeah, I would look to bring in Patrick Beverley if we don't end up with Ja Morant. I think he would be a better option and a better fit because he's not going to look to really have the ball. That's just going to bring more shots for Laurie and Zach and Otto. So I think he would be the better fit if we don't get Ja Morant. But like I said, if we do get Ja Morant, bringing D. Rose off the bench, like, hey, you are the man right now with this bench unit. We've seen what you can do. We've seen you do it in this building. Have at it, but along the way, teach the young guy so he knows what he can bring to the table.
So if you couldn't get, and you brought up Patrick Beverley there as a potential starter if you need to fill that void. If you couldn't get Patrick Beverley, if the market was just way too crazy for him, would you consider other guys like Darren Collison, Ricky Rubio, some of those names that might be out there?
I would consider Darren Collison if we can't get Beverley. Derrick Rose reunion doesn't happen. I think Collison is a solid point guard. He worked well with Victor Oladipo. I think that he would be able to have that same success in the backcourt with Zach LaVine.
Are there any other additions you're looking to make in free agency, like maybe to the bench? Are you looking for more three-point shooting, more defense, more veteran leadership? What are some types of players or maybe some specific players that you would have in mind for that bench unit?
More 3-and-D guys. How we've seen this NBA play out with the Rockets breaking their own record for most three-point shots made in the game, with the teams just launching so much more threes as the game continues to evolve to having a bunch of shooters, I would definitely want to bring in 3-and-D guys so you have the shooting built around the team. Even back with D. Rose, I think the Bulls could have been better at that with bringing in some more shooters. You know, they had Kyle Korver or they had Mike Dunleavy. It's like you're only surrounding him with one shooter. And that kind of made his job a little bit harder, and it may have put more wear and tear on his body to where he had that ACL injury. Maybe if he had more guys that he could trust and kick the ball out to, maybe that injury doesn't happen. So, with Zach having the ACL injury, and you've seen how he had that knee contusion problem that kept him out the last few weeks, he's driving to the basket a lot. Let's put some shooters around him. Zach can shoot. Laurie can shoot. But Otto Porter Jr. is our best three-point shooter on the team. So if we can bring in more guys that can knock down the shot, maybe Zach LaVine doesn't have to keep driving all the way to the basket and trying to get fouled. He can drive in and just dish it out to somebody who can knock down the shot. And hopefully that helps keep him more healthy and it helps other guys stay healthy. You know, with a better medical team, I'm sure that everybody would be healthy.
That's true. One thing that I've kind of pitched everybody that's come on so far, if you do end up with the number one pick, you end up with Zion, this is just my opinion. I think there could be a wave that you can ride off that where there might be some hype surrounding your team. Would you consider if maybe some free agents that are more high-profile free agents, like a Kyrie Irving, expresses interest in your team, Would you consider maybe dumping salary like Otto Porter Jr. and maybe another piece to clear some cap space to go out and sign a guy like that?
Yes. If Kyrie Irving says, hey, I see you got Zion, you got marketing, and you got Zach LaVine, I want to come over and I want to play with you guys. I will part with Wendell Carter Jr. Who else do you want? I need to get Kyrie over here because he's a superstar point guard. Mm-hmm. Who can get this team running. I've already got these other guys in place. What else do you need to make this work? Come on, Kyrie. Come on to Chicago.
I almost feel like, and like, I don't want to get too far ahead, because I think what they've built in Boston's, honestly, like, just on paper when you look at it, like, Boston has a pretty, you know, solid roster, good depth. But I almost feel like if all the guys on the Bulls hit their ceiling, like in that scenario, Zion Williamson, Lauri Markkanen, Zach LaVine, there's potential there to almost get to that level if you fill out the bench correctly, though.
Oh, I definitely agree. That core pieces I'm so high on. I think the Bulls are on the right track with the core. They just need to find the new bench mob.
Whenever somebody says bench mob, it just gives me a bunch of, like, it gives me a warm feeling every time I hear that. it takes me back to better times. I wish that team would have won a title. So the 2020 season, depending on the moves you make, of course, if you do kind of get the roster you were talking about, where Patrick Beverly, you pick a guy somewhere in that 3-8 range, what do you expect going into next season? Are you trying to compete for the playoffs? Is there a win total that you have in mind?
I'll definitely want to try to compete for the playoffs. I don't see why the Bulls wouldn't be able to get in from like 6 on down. I don't see why they couldn't be better than the Orlando Magic or the Indiana Pacers. With the core moving in the right direction, taking the next step with Zach and Lauri, Otto's a good guy. He's going to make everything work out. Say, RJ Barrett is the guy that we have. He's another potential high ceiling guy. Hopefully Chandler Hutchinson he showed a flash before he got hurt. Hopefully he's able to step into that role of being a player off the bench that helps provide depth. I would definitely be hoping that we're pursuing a playoff position next year.
You know, going forward into after the 2020 season and beyond, what are some things that you're keeping your eye on? Are you trying to find a way to maneuver and get another star, whether that's one that becomes available on the trade market, maybe it's in the free agency class? What would you be keeping your eye on?
My eye would be on making sure that the core develops. Whatever signings that need to be made that are going to help the core pieces come together and form something special is what I'm going to be keeping my eye on, because if a superstar sees this core as something special, they're becoming something, they're on the right track, they're going to want to come here. And I really don't have to go out too much to try to convince them to come. They're going to be excited because they see this exciting team that's growing up together and they're coming along. And hey, I want to be a part of that. Hey, I want to come over here and be with you guys. And if it's the right fit for the core, then sure, come on over.
If there's ever, though, like, I guess if there's a disgruntled star, I like to bring this one up a lot. You know, there's a Damian Lillard or, again, pie in the sky. Like, let's say 3 years from now, Giannis gets unsettled up in Milwaukee. They say, hey, we want to go play in Chicago. Are there players on the current roster that you would say, I'm willing to part with this guy if I have to make that trade work?
I would be okay with parting with anybody other than Lauri Markkanen for Giannis on the combo. I mean, you put Giannis and Lauri together, I don't really think you need too much else. Giannis, he should definitely be the MVP of the league this season. He's just awesome. All you need to do is put some shooters around them and you're good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, imagine that two-man game with a 6'11", 7 foot, 3 and 4. I mean, that's just crazy.
Yeah. just fill it out with some shooters, point guard who can actually get assists other than 3 or 4 a game, that's all you really need with those two.
Derek, before I let you go, what would be your target year to compete for a championship?
Everything has turned out correctly. The core's good. The bench is good. We're making strides. If Boylan works out, or, you know, if we had to find a new coach, and it seems like he's going to be the one that pushes them to that championship contention. I'm going with 2023. just for the number 23. Let's make it seem like it was destined. You know, we had number 23 of all those years for a championship. Let's get back a championship contention in 2023.
I like it. It's a good omen. 2023. That's what Derek Briscoe thinks. That's when he thinks the Bulls are going to win a championship with his rebuilding plan. Derek, thank you for coming on, and I definitely appreciate your support too with the podcast. I want to thank you for, you know, retweeting, liking, and sharing all this stuff for us. Definitely appreciate it, and we'll be sure to have you on again.
All right, man. I can't wait. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Rebuild the Bowl podcast. For the latest updates, visit us on Twitter at @rebuild_a_bowl. You can find our podcasts on Spotify, iTunes, and on rebuildthebowl.com.